My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today the Church solemnly celebrates all her saints. Many saints, actually relatively few in comparison to the total, but many saints have particular days on which they are honored in the liturgy of the Church, whether in the universal calendar or in the calendar of local churches where they are more prominent. But on this day, the Church wishes to remember and celebrate all saints. So those also who don't have a particular feast day on which they're remembered, or those who aren't even known to us specifically as canonized or beatified saints. So all of those many martyrs, confessors, and virgins, even those not recognized in the technical sense, but who are known to God alone or known to man, but not yet beatified. But we know through the faith and through the doctrine of the Church that they're in heaven, enjoying the bliss of the vision of God. So we celebrate today then this feast to honor them, but also because in honoring them and in holding them up, the Church shows us examples after which we should strive, examples of virtue that they lived in their lives to a heroic degree. We also implore divine mercy through the multitude of these powerful intercessors. We also wish to repair any failure or insufficiency in our veneration on other feast days that we may not have celebrated with particular attention and due reverence. And we also wish to glorify God then in those saints to whom who we don't know, but who are there in heaven with God, giving him glory. One of the doctrines of the Church that's misunderstood by separated brethren is this cult of the saints that we embrace and in which we take great joy and consolation. And I read a few various commentaries on even the word saint, because as you may recall, there are many references in the New Testament to the saints, and they're not references to dead persons in heaven, beatified and canonized, but rather to the living Church on earth. There's a number of these references throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament. In fact, more than 50 times the word saint is used. And it's in reference then to those living individuals in the Church who have dedicated themselves to the worship and service of the one true God as revealed through his Son, Jesus Christ. Six of St. Paul's letters to the various churches he addresses to the saints. And then here just a few citations from the Acts of the Apostles. Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem, a reference to St. Paul himself before his conversion. In another place, Paul himself confessing, and this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prisons, etc. And then in Philippians, the one time where the word saint is used in the singular is actually still a reference to the collective. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. So these saints, then the word itself is referring to a group of people set apart for the Lord and his kingdom. People who share in the holiness of Christ, the head of the church. And that is, I looked at these commentaries, which happen to have been from Protestant sources, and in it I found even, you know, a certain false understanding and condemnation of the Roman Catholic doctrine. This commentator says, how does the Roman Catholic understanding of saints compare with the biblical teaching? Not very well, he says. And then he goes on to falsely explain Roman Catholic theology on this point, because he fails to overlook that in the very symbol of the faith, the creed that we profess, we speak of the communion of saints. And that doctrine then is not a reference simply to those men and women holy and recognized by the church and named as such, but to the union of the entire church, which our traditional doctrine refers to as being in three stages. The church triumphant, who are those saints, either recognized or unknown, but who have achieved the beatific vision. The church suffering in purgatory, those are saints who haven't yet entered into the beatific vision, but have overcome the trial of this earthly life and are on the way, going through a state of final purification. And then, of course, the church militant, which includes all of us here on earth, still struggling through this earthly pilgrimage. And so we profess it expressly that we believe in the communion of saints. And so the correct understanding of Catholic doctrine on this point includes the biblical interpretation referred to by our separated brethren, the explicit reference to the word saints in the New Testament, but it also includes these other two aspects of the church suffering and the church triumphant. The vocation of sainthood is a universal vocation, and every single person here and every single person in the church, and even those not yet in the church, are called by God to be saints. And this is a point that's really not yet appreciated by many as it ought to be. Many people, I think, have a very shallow conception of holiness in that, or perhaps not shallow, but inadequate, because I think a lot of people look to canonized saints as being members of a hall of fame, sort of like the greatest players from the NFL. Well, there aren't too many people who make it to the NFL in the first place, and then who go on to the Hall of Fame, even fewer. And yet, every single one of us is called to belong to that communion of the saints. And so we have to, while venerating and recognizing those exemplary persons who live virtue to heroic degrees, realize that we're called to be among them, both in the future after our death, but even now, to practice to the best of our ability holiness. It's a universal call, and the church has always recognized this. In fact, it's explicit in the gospel, but more recently in the Second Vatican Council, in the document on the Constitution of the Church, Lumen Gentium, chapter 5, makes this reference to the universal call to holiness. All the faithful of Christ, of whatever rank or status, are called to the fullness of the Christian life and to the perfection of charity. They must follow in his footsteps, referring to Christ our Lord, and conform themselves to his image, seeking the will of the Father in all things, They must devote themselves with all their being to the glory of God and the service of their neighbor. That instruction clearly refers to the holiness of saints, and it applies to each and every one of us. Even more recently than Second Vatican Council, even with our current Holy Father, this call to holiness is reiterated. Pope Francis, in a catechesis given in November of 2014, so just two years ago, said this: "We are all called to be saints," he said, "but holiness is not granted only to those who have the opportunity to break away from the ordinary tasks to devote themselves to prayer. Rather, everyone is called to holiness in their own state of life. Indeed," he said, "it is by living with love and offering Christian witness in our daily tasks that we are called to become saints. Always and everywhere, you can become a saint, that is, by being receptive to the grace that is working in us and leads us to holiness." So the difference then between the saints and those who haven't yet, or who aren't seeking sainthood, sanctity, is really a question of disposition. It isn't that certain individuals have been gifted with extraordinary abilities, but that they have responded in an extraordinary way, which is a possibility open to all of us to respond with great generosity, courage, and charity to the grace that God offers us continually through his own love, but also in a specific way through the sacraments of the church, which are the means of sanctification and salvation. Just because we are a week away from the election of presidents, or a president, and members of Congress, and of the government, of officials, I'd just like to point out that sanctity and holiness, which we celebrate today in the persons of the church, is a category that has almost completely disappeared from our public consciousness, meaning beyond the church itself, but in the greater society of the civil, secular world. Holiness is a thing that rarely, if ever, enters into the mind or into the discourse of the people, and this is to the great detriment of all of us. And as Catholic citizens, we have a duty to advocate for the common good, which cannot be separated from our ultimate end, which is to be saints in heaven with God for all eternity. And so we who have received the light of the faith have a particular responsibility to exercise our right as citizens to select leaders and officials who advocate and who stand for policies that favor virtue and holiness and righteousness, and who are opposed to vice and evil and unrighteous laws or false laws that really are abuses of justice. So as we celebrate God's holy ones and celebrate that communion of saints, which includes us as well, let us be particularly attentive to the obligation that we have before God and before our brethren to pick those men and women, or to cast our vote at least for those men and women who are closer to the ideals that Christ our Lord has laid out for us. Finally then, let us, I have so many pages here, there's so much to say, but a probably had too many pages. This is a sign when I can't find the one I wanted to conclude with. I'll just conclude then spontaneously by saying that we all have an opportunity. Some of us may even go on to be recognized formally by the church. Let us pray that among us there are future canonized saints in the making. But even if we should not be given that title and that honor by the church, it is our calling to be holy. And our Lord Jesus, who is really truly the object of our celebration today, is reflected in his saints. And so let us seek, through the intercession and help of our brethren already in heaven who are closer to God and whose requests are more easily granted, let us ask for this grace to be faithful, to live out the Beatitudes which we heard in the Gospel today, and recognize the nobility of our brethren in the church, and invite all those who haven't yet received the grace of the faith to know Christ, to love Christ, and to serve him in the church, and to be saints. May the Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen of all saints, help us in this. Praise be Jesus and Mary.